that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise be unto God. You say, now, preacher, this is a modern age, and we know a lot of stuff that old people didn't know. Do you really, really believe that there was a flood? That there was really a person named Noah? Do you really believe that the flood covered the whole world and every mountain and hill and everything was covered? Yeah, I do. Amen. And I tell you, I'm not in bad company. The Apostle Peter did. The Apostle Paul did. I read references they make to them. And let me tell you something. God's own Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth and spoke of Noah as a fact. Spoke of the flood as a fact that happened. So when I look at the gospel, I don't have any trouble believing that there was a flood that covered the whole earth. And I know they're going to say, well, I don't know now. You got to think about this. Enough water? Why, it can't rain enough in 40 days to cover the whole world. Well, you're exactly right. It could rain 40 days and 40 nights, and there would be some terrible floods. There'd be some terrible times going on in the world, but it would not cover the whole world. But you need to read the scriptures. You need to read all of the scriptures about it. You see, there were great fountains of the deep, great aquifers down in the earth that burst open and water came up out of the earth. And you need to realize that prior to Noah's flood, there'd never been a drop of rain fell on this earth. And you say, oh, come on, it had to always rain. No, it didn't. When God made the earth, it never had a drought like you just seen here in Virginia in the last little bit. Never happened. You say, why is that? Well, it's because that every night a mist came up from the ground and wet the ground and wet the plants and everything existed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every night you had an hour and a half rain? And you say, well, it wasn't rain. No, it wasn't rain. It was coming up. It wasn't coming down. But you see, when God made the firmament, you remember God making a firmament in Genesis? And when God made the firmament, he divided the waters from the water. He divided the waters that were above the earth from the waters that were below the earth. So you got oceans and seas and rivers and streams, and you got aquifers down in the ground with great basins of water. But think about it. If there is a layer of water covering the whole earth, going all the way around it, think about it. And it's way up there, way up above anything where we can fly unless we're in a rocket ship. What's it going to be? It's going to be ice. If you look at the clouds and you see those very high wispy clouds, that's just pure ice clouds. It's so cold up there that they're not really clouds. They're clouds of ice. And if that burst and came down, how much water would be crashing down on the earth? You see, we have fossils. This earth has gone through some traumatic times. This planet that you're on right now has seen some stress and some duress and some hazardous things. And you think about how heavy the water would be that would cover from the top of Mount Everest to the bottom of the deepest ocean. You think about all of that water coming down from on high. You see, we can find fossils of palm trees and fossils of tropical things in the Arctic regions around the North Pole. We can find all kinds of things that ought to be at the equator up there. And you say, how could that be? Because If the earth had a firmament all around it, it would diffuse the light and diffuse the heat, and the whole earth would have a uniform temperature. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have 70 degrees all year long and a mist every night to water everything that was there? God never made any mistakes. But once sin came in, and once the judgment of God came, you have to understand that everything began to change. Everything was not the way that it was to start with. Scientists, when they use radiocarbon dating and all of that, and they date the earth back millions and millions of years and all of those kind of things, they do that on the supposition that all things are as they are. But all things have not been as they are. We have had catastrophic things that have happened to this earth, maybe even meteorites hitting it. But we've had it, we know, covered with water from the highest mountain to the lowest sea, and such pressure on the earth that it would have been. Well, God looked down, and Tennessee Ernie was not out on a limb when he said this. God did look down onto the earth and to what men were doing. Now, there was a man named Noah and his wife, his three sons, and his three daughters-in-law. They formed the family unit. For some reason, there weren't any children born in that family, grandchildren of Noah at that time. That all happened after the flood. And so as Noah is living his life, he's living in a place where we often think we are, but really aren't. And godly people everywhere have thought they were in the position that Noah was, but they aren't. And I suppose the most notable one would have been Elijah the prophet. And you remember Elijah got all tore out of shape and was running from Jezebel and was hiding out on Mount Sinai. And he's saying, God, I'm the only one left. No one else is serving you. There's no one here serving you. I'm the only one left. Everybody else has gone to hell in a handbasket. And here I am out by myself, and there's no one there. And what did God say? He said, Elijah, I got 7,000 people that's never once bowed their knee to Baal. Wow, that's encouraging to us. But let me tell you something about Mr. Noah. Mr. Noah could say that, and it was the truth. Mr. and Mrs. Noah, the three little Noahs and their wives, were the only people that were righteous in the world. Everyone else had given themselves over to idolatry, to violence, to ungodliness, to rebellion against God. And he could say, yes, it's only me and my house that's serving the Lord. And he can say, you know, the kids like to say this, well, everybody else is doing it. You've heard that, parents, haven't you? Everybody else is doing it. Well, and it's not true. But it is true in Noah's case. Everybody else was in rebellion against God. Everybody else had turned against God. Everybody else was doing that. And my friend Noah is living his life. It had to be tough. It had to be. It was a violent world. It was a world filled with supernatural creatures, maybe, that had come down from heaven, come from the underworld at some place. We're not exactly sure, but there were giants in the world at that time, and people had deserted and rebelled against God. And here's Noah living in all of that mess. Here's Noah going on with his life. And God said he was righteous. Now, God... some people think that God don't see. Now, I grew up with the knowledge that God was watching me. I think maybe they threatened us with it. But I grew up with the knowledge that God was watching me. And it instilled fear in my heart. I can hear the Reverend Sister Effie Gilmer walking around the pulpit saying, God knows your heart. And I think, ooh. That's terrifying that God knows my heart. And then they'd sing, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. Remember that song? Watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And I think, oh Lord, God's watching everything I do. God's watching everything I say. God's paying attention to everything that I think. Is that true? Yes, it is. And if you read this story carefully, Earl and I discussed it the other day a little bit. You think about it. You say, well, God knows everything. I can say that. But let me just put this to you. God came down to look around a spell, as Ernie Ford said. God came down and walked through the earth and looked through it. And as he walked through the earth, looking at the violence and the sin and the ungodliness and all of the terrible things that were going on in Noah's day, he paid attention to Noah. I want you to know, Christian, the world may not be a friend of grace. And I want you to know that the lifestyle of the world may not make you comfortable at all, may make you feel left out and alone. And you may feel as a Christian that the whole world is there and nobody notices. But let me tell you something, my friend. God knows where you're at. You remember Zacchaeus, little fella, wanted to see the Lord as he went by, and he just couldn't see him. It's like a kid standing at the Christmas parade. I remember a few times I got to go to a Christmas parade in town, and I'd stand on the side of the street, and old people would stand in front of me. And here I am, a little kid. I'm trying to see, and I can't see. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus and came out to see him, and he couldn't see him. So he climbed a sycamore tree, which not the same sycamores that's growing out here. It's a type of fig. And he climbed a sycamore tree and got out on a limb over the street. And he said, this is a good place. I can sit right here on this limb. He'll come right under me. I'll get to see him. And nobody will know I'm up here. Because the people didn't like Zacchaeus, by the way. Zacchaeus got out on his, climbed up his tree, got out on his limb and hid in the leaves. And was sitting there, and Jesus comes walking down the road, and all at once Jesus stops and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home to take dinner with you today. Wow, God knew exactly which limb he was sitting on. God knew exactly where he was. My friends, God walked this earth in the days of Noah, and he paid attention to Noah's life. My brothers and sisters, God knows what you're going through. He knows what limb you're sitting on. He knows what's happening in your life, and he's paying attention to it. And God gave to Noah a plan to survive. We have a group of people in the world today. They're called survivalists. Some of us fall into that. Herb Dillon could have fell into it easily when he was here, and I certainly could have in many times, and we become survivalists. We want to build root cellars and storage houses, and we want to build places to survive. We want to fortify our houses, and we want to hide away in the woods and in the out of way places, and we want to survive. But I have to tell you, there's coming a day, my friend, that you cannot be able. And you got to think about this in the context of having all of the electronic gizmos we got flying through the air and looking down on us and listening to us and all the things that's going on. My friend, it's virtually impossible to hide from any person in this world nowadays. But my friend, it's never possible to hide from God. And one day the wrath of God will be poured out. One day there will be. And you say, does the Bible really say that? Yes. Fire falling from heaven, stars falling from heaven, the sun blotting out and the moon blotting out and the earth shaking and the heavens shaking, all kinds of things going on and terrible signs in the heavens above and in the earth beneath, blood and vapor and fire and smoke. Isn't that what the scripture says? All of that. And that day is coming, my friend, and you cannot survive it with your plan of survival. Building a root cellar and a bomb shelter. I was so aggravated at my daddy in their 50s because they told us at school We had to watch for the bombers. We had to watch for the planes that would be coming with the bombs. And we needed to build bomb shelters in the ground where the radiation would not come in and get us. And I desperately wanted Daddy to dig back into that mountain behind the house and to put in a bomb shelter and a place for us to hide from the bombs that would be falling, never realizing that bombers would not be the thing that I needed to dread, but there would be missiles and all kinds of things. My friend, the day of the wrath of God, when the wrath of God is poured out on this earth as it was on Sodom and Gomorrah, my brothers and sisters, your plan of survival won't get it. Having a root cellar full of food and canned up goods will not get it. Having a load of ammunition and guns put aside to defend your house and the locks for your doors and latches and all of that, it may be common sense to do it in certain cases, but it will not make you a survivor. The only place that you can survive is in the plan of survival that God has. And God had a plan of survival for Mr. and Mrs. Noah and their family. And the plan was this: Noah, build an ark. Now, contrary to what people say, he did not say, Noah, build a boat. He did not need a stern, and he did not need a bow. It was not designed to sail or to go under power of any kind. It had no motor. It had no sail. It had no way of no oars, nothing. It was designed to float. That's exactly what it was. An ark there is and was in the temple in Jerusalem, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and in heaven, by the way, the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it's not the boat of the covenant. It's not the ship of the covenant. It's the Ark of the Covenant. It's a box. Plain and simple, it's a box. And Noah is instructed to build an ark. He's instructed to build a floating city, if you please, over 150,000 square feet in this thing. It's longer than 1.5 football fields. It's 75 feet wide. It is one huge, huge creation that God has told him to build. And it's estimated by botanists that he probably could have over 100,000 animals in there and enough fodder to feed them. Think about it. Think about that. And God tells him to build that. And this is the plan of survival. This is the only way, Noah, that anybody is going to be able to survive the coming flood, is to follow the plan and the pattern that God has given them. And if you don't follow God's plan, you're not in it. So Noah begins, we used to sing, "Oh, Noah began to cut into you." So let's keep that ark a moving. So Noah begins to build an ark the way the Lord tells him to. And he goes and he gets gopher wood. Now that's a cypress kind of wood that grows in the Middle East. And there were doors on St. Peter's Church in Rome that were put there that lasted out of gopher wood that lasted over 1,000 years without deteriorating in the weather in Rome. So that tells you God knows what he's doing. And he began to build the boat, the box, the ark. And he begins to build the ark. And as he builds the ark, he pitches it with bituminous pitch within and without. Now, we went to see the ark display. You should go see it out in Kentucky. It's worth seeing. And I don't know that it's exactly like what Noah had, but the dimensions are exactly what Noah had. And you should go see it. You could even ride a motorcycle out there and see it. And it would be worth going out there on a motorcycle to see. It's worth seeing. It's amazing when you see how tall it is and how long it is and how wide it is And it's a great witness, and they use it as a great witness for God, that you could look at it and see. And this is the plan God has, that everybody that's in the ark will float and live through the flood. And if you're not in the ark, you won't live, and it won't happen. And the only people that survived the flood were the 8 people that were inside with the animals they took in with them. Now, what a patient God. God comes down. Do you know God really don't enjoy sending judgment on people? Do you know that God really doesn't like to send fire and brimstone down? Now, you'd never believe it listening to some preacher's talk, would you? You'd think God was just waiting around for the opportunity to zap you with a lightning bolt and pitch you into hell. But that's not true, my friend. It's not His will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Judgment is a strange thing to God. It's against His character and against His nature to send destructive judgment on people and to hurt people. And so when we look at Noah, God could have just said, Noah, all of you all get together right here. We're going to build something around you instantly. It'll take care of you, and you'll survive the flood. Nothing doing. He could have lifted Noah up from the earth onto a space platform, into heaven, for instance, even, and have saved Noah's life. But my friend, He let Noah build the ark. And as Noah built the ark, he preached. Every day, Noah witnessed to the people around him. You know how long it took him to build the ark? 120 years he was building the ark. 120 years he told the people, there's going to be a flood. God is going to let it rain, and water's going to come up, and water's going to come down, and God Almighty is going to destroy this earth and every person in it with water, and you need to get ready. 120 years they watched him. 120 years they had to repent. 120 years they had the opportunity to get on board the survival plan. And for 120 years they paid no attention. And Jesus came and said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What did people do? They bought, they sold, they married, they given in marriage. Those are not sinful things, are they? What would they do? They just went on with life. God says there's going to be a flood. God says there's going to be destruction. God says water's going to cover everything, and rain's going to come down, and water's going to come up, and everybody's going to be destroyed. You need to get in the ark. You need to get in the ark. For 120 years that message was preached, and for 120 years men went on like nothing was going to happen. Much as they do today. We tell the world that Jesus is coming again. We tell the world that there's fire going to fall from heaven, and the planets are going to be out of alignment, and the earth's going to reel like a drunken man, and there's going to be destruction come to this planet, and all men are ultimately going to stand before the judgment of the Almighty God. And we tell men that, and what do? They marry, they give in marriage, they buy, they sell, they build businesses, they build houses, they tear them down and build greater. They go on with life as if nothing is going to change, that they're going to be there forever. That's what they did in Noah's time. Jesus said, and they knew not. How could they not know? Here's this monster of a box sitting there ready to go. Here are animals from all over the world. Here's enough hay and fodder and grain to feed them. All of that stuff. How could they not know? And yet the Scripture says they did not know until the flood came and took them away. Came the day that Noah was finished. And God said, get the animals in the ark. And get in the ark. It's time. And they got in the ark. And you say, well, and now it's going to come down. No, it didn't. That should have been a warning to everybody in the world. When the animals came and went into the ark, and when Noah came and went into the ark, and supernaturally the door closed on the ark, my friend. That should have been a warning to everybody. Ta-da! This is D-Day. This is the time. There's no more time left. And yet God, what? In His patience, waited 7 days, 1 week. Not one person got saved in 120 years. Not one person got saved in that 7 day extension. Not one person listened to what God had said, and they all perished. My question is it to you today, my friend, and to the world, as God in His patience is waiting, and it must be the patience of God. It must be the loving kindness and the mercies of a great God that's waiting while we sin like we do in this world. Oh, my friend, how we could listen and look at Noah's generation and come to a knowledge of what we ought to be. Oh, and let me remind you that God never forgets His own. You see, some people think that Noah was in that ark for 40 days and 40 nights. That's the beginning. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. But Noah was in the ark 1 year and 10 days. There are detailed chronological references in Genesis in the story of the ark. And if you count it up, you notice that for 40 days it rained, and 40 days the water came up, and 40 days the water came down. And then the ark is floating, and it floats on that water until they have been inside that ark for 1 year, for over 1 year, my friend. They're in that ark. And one day, the ark sits down on the ground. It's on the mountains of Ararat, in what is now the border of Turkey and Russia and Syria. And you know what the Bible says? And God remembered Noah. Aren't you glad He don't forget about us? Wally, He'll never forget about us. He'll never forget about you. Don't you think for a minute that God has forgotten you. Don't you think for a minute that you've been floating and floating and floating and now you're grounded on a mountainside and God has forgotten. But God remembered Noah, and He opened the door, and Noah and the animals and the family came out, and they built an altar, and they began to worship God and praise Him when they come out. And what did God send? And I rejoice every time I see one. Don't you just love rainbows? And it ain't got nothing to do with them other people. Rainbows don't. They just want to steal what's God's. Rainbows got nothing to do with them. Rainbows got everything to do with us. Around the throne of God in heaven, there is a rainbow. And there is the rainbow sign. And God said, Noah, do you see my bow in the sky? And there was this gorgeous rainbow over the ark and over Noah. And He said, I'll never again destroy the earth with water. Never again. Never again will I do this. But my friend, Howard Goodman used to sing a song. You remember it. It won't be water but fire the next time. That's exactly what's going to happen. The next time God sends rain of judgment, it will be fire and brimstone. My brothers and sisters, Jesus believed this was a true story about Noah. And I believe it's a true story. Do you believe it? If you believe this is a true story, then learn the lessons. Remember that God is watching, and God always remembers. And remember, my friends, that the only way to survive the catastrophe that's coming is in the plan of salvation from God. Not any other way. Not any other way. And my friend, don't get so wound up in what you're doing every day in your life that you forget to be ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank You today for Your great love and your wondrous blessings. Father, we thank you for the great patience that you have with those that are lost. Lord, even though we sin, even though we come short of your glory, even though we do that which you do not like and detest, oh God, I look at this story of Noah and I realize how merciful and how patient you are. I realize, Father, that you care so much for us that you would wait and wait and wait for us to make up our mind to get right with God. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Speak to hearts of people who will be listening by radio and by transcription. Speak to hearts, Father, that people will listen and will hear and will be convicted and turn their hearts and lives over to you and be ready to go when you come or when you call. Father, I ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory forever. Amen.